Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Daryl Constantine today. Daryl is a Republican candidate for presidential election in 2024. We're talking about issues of should be of grave concern for all of us. And the question is today, is America too corrupt to be delivered? And Daryl and I have been talking, and I pray that you've joined in the listening, and lines are open for you to join in the dialogue and the discussion. Daryl, we have a caller on the line. Jim, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, guest, Daryl, I can't remember your last name, sorry.
It's Daryl Constantine, as in Constantine24.com.
Nice. I wanted to say Jim. Constant, but I'm like, that's wrong. Anyway, I'd like to make a quick statement there. Aldous Huxley in 1949 said that within the next generation, I believe that the world's leaders will discover that infant conditioning and narco-hypnosis are more efficient as instruments of government than clubs and prisons, and that the lust for power can be just as completely satisfied by suggesting people into loving their servitude as by flogging them and kicking them into obedience. Okay, that's just a guy from the 40s there, along the George Orwellian type of thing. Your position on banning pornography, I don't see an issue with that, but wouldn't it be better to
I hope not. I'd be concerned.
Wouldn't it be
if
better to treat
you
the condition instead of the symptom there? Because there's something called the Streisand effect. Whenever you ban something, it tends to gravitate and draw more people to it. And then the second question or
have you seen the statistics about how much of the internet is currently devoted to it? I don't think it can get much worse than it currently is.
Well, yeah, that's a true statement. The second one is about marriage there. I think just by making divorce almost impossible, you know, wouldn't that cure quite a bit of it and have more mandatory, hey, look, this is what marriage is for young adults?
Yeah, so Jim, so on that, let me ask you a couple questions, you know, back at you, because we do have such powerful technology, and everybody is walking around with these computers in their hands. I mean, do you have any doubt that children are watching this stuff? And are you okay with that? And how are we going to stop that from happening?
I am absolutely not okay with children watching it there. I'm not in disagreement with that policy there. I'm just stating that it's going to have to take more than just the banning of something there. I mean, you can treat the symptoms, but are you treating the disease?
We're going to entire entertainment industry. We're going to have to actually rip it away from these people because they're thoroughly evil. And they're destroying the minds of our children and subsequently destroying the nation, as your opening point alluded to, which I agree to entirely. These people recognize quite some time ago that they could have a much more powerful impact on the country by taking over the airwaves and using them as a weapon to brainwash the American people. And the brainwashing is so severe and the level of confusion is so severe that simply to unplug it at this point isn't even enough. We've got to actually take it, and we need to install a Christian culture. Because this is not, as I said, this is not selling bubble gum and who has the best flavor of bubble gum. This is, as the word says, it is in fact programming. This is a powerful military-grade weapon, in fact, that we have handed to a cabal of deviant perverts. And we need to actually take the thing over, and we need to actually maybe set some guidelines in place that say that entertainment, period, must be positive. All programming must be positive. It must be life-affirming. And the nature of the way that these people work with the subliminal messaging, you know, we can go to the movies and we can see so many things, but there's probably so many things even much, much deeper than that. We have to physically take it away from them to prevent them from continuing to just hide it within deeper and deeper layers. Does that answer your question, Jim?
Yeah, that answers the question, but I just wanted to know if there was another follow-up to that, because I know that banning,
well,
you know,
I mean,
the war on drugs, but
too,
you've got to have a second aspect of it as well.
We've also got to stop the academics. So, you know, as I've said, gender theory curriculum, that's sexual abuse of minors. That's how I'll define it from the executive level and prosecute it accordingly. So it's not just the entertainment industry that we need to get under wraps. It's also the academic institutions and largely the, you know, the tech industries as well. But we also need to be getting off of this stuff. We need to be getting off of the social media instead of being so excited about being able to tweet off our one or two line zingers on Twitter again. We need to actually start mobilizing a robust masculine party. And at this point, really, I do have, as I said and alluded to, limited patience to go into the weeds about whether or not watching two other people, you know, in their bedroom constitutes freedom of speech. I'm not interested in going into that for 3 hours. We have a problem. It needs to be fixed. And I'm running to fix that. I'm offering the American people an opportunity with some platform policies that they can vote for that will actually correct the issue. Because if we continue, things are looking very good for the Republican Party for the next two elections, because the Democrat Party has completely collapsed before us and their policies are a complete failure. And we're seeing that. But we have won elections. You know, we had George W. Bush, we had Trump, we had all of these different things over the past 50 or 60 years. And what's going to happen is if we don't recognize that going in as Mr. Nice Guy Libertarian, if we go in with that mindset again, we're just going to give the ball back to the Democrats in 4 to 8 years. They're going to pick up where they left off and they're going to continue. Or we're going to say, okay, enough's enough. It's time to go Clint Eastwood mode and throw these people out. I think that this is perhaps the last opportunity for the American people to set their country straight. And we're going to need to do that. We're going to have to do some things that maybe don't sound nice. You might have to tell people that actually, no, same-sex marriage is not a real thing. This is not a thing to organize around. That actually marriage is between a man and a woman. And we need to say that, you know, actually, no, this is not something that we have any tolerance for in our classrooms. This is not some alternative. This is not something that you teach. This is something that we tolerate as adults in the privacy of your own homes, but that line really has to be redefined to protect our children, which is really the most important thing, because I think we do have some agreement, which I did hear from you, that absolutely not do we want our children exposed to these things. And really, there's nothing for me that's more important than protecting children. So if I'm put up against freedom of speech or protecting children, I'm going to go with protecting children every time. And the left has become so predatory, specifically towards our children, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to defend our children and move heaven and earth to restore and protect their innocence moving forward.
Absolutely. Jim, was that satisfactory as far as your questions? Do you have any other questions or comments?
That's satisfactory. There's nothing I'm disagreeing with. I just wanted to branch out and
can I count on your vote?
Ask about – what's that?
I said, can I count on your vote?
Sure, why not? If you could make it past the primary, you got my vote.
All right.
Amen. Well, Jim, thank you. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Great. Jim, thank you so much for your call. Have a blessed day. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you for what you're doing, keep the ball going. I know, I don't want to sound negative, but I really think our country has gone to, is in a bad stage. And as I'm looking at it, the answer to our situation is just in the hand of God. And it would depend on our humbling ourselves, confessing our sins, and repenting. And that seemed like it's very far away. I think this country and other countries around in the Western world have become so gospel-hardened, and that as they have taken, you know, to turn for us in the Western America especially, to turn its back on the Word of God and the Christian values and principles, Jesus Christ, to turn our backs on the way we're doing it today. This is this month we're calling it Gay Pride, whatever. You know, it's like we have become so brazen and so rebellious against the Word of God and His principles and what Him stands for, that I really think the country is in trouble. And in spite of the, you know, we have encouragement where we think the eyes of Americans are opening up and people are beginning to recognize what is going on, but sin is our approach, and our problem is sin, is rejecting God's Word and turning our backs on Him. So I am just concerned, you know, we're coming up to an election and we think the eyes of people are opened up and so on, but I do not know, and just the mercy of God we're depending on. If He's
Lily, I believe you're right on target. Let's see what Daryl has to say in response to your observations.
Yes, thank you.
Lily, it's always so nice to hear from you. I think every time I'm on here, I get to hear your lovely voice, and I want to for continuing to voice your concerns and really modeling, I think, serving as a really excellent role model for women across the country of sort of what to do, which is to focus on praying for the nation and praying for a correct course correction. And, of course, we do want to remind you that the battle has already been won, and, you know, our job is to be on the right side of it. So as bad as all things do appear, obviously always remember that and find comfort in that. And that should be very comforting. And as I said, it's very lovely that you do spend so much time devoted to praying for the nation, as all of us must do as men and women. Now, men also have to do something else along with that prayer. Men have a different responsibility. Men must also take action. And that is why we are running for president, to make America Christian again. And, you know, it's not okay for men to just sort of sit back and watch the world blow up. We do very clearly see what's going on, and we have to react to that. And I do think that the political avenue is the best way to go on it, because we do, when we're talking about these things, talking about Christian nationalism, and as Dr. Youngblood alluded to, the left is very quickly looking to push these sort of ideas into a fringe space, when actually this isn't fringe at all. This is, in fact, what the country was, and now we have to actually reassert that. But we have to stay focused inside of the lane of political. You know, I don't want people going out and forming social clubs and, you know, different things like that. We are lawfully entitled to present laws to the American people that we say would correct things and give them an opportunity to vote for them. That's why anybody can come and knock on my door anytime that they like. And what I'm telling to you right now is the same thing that I would tell to them. These are my solutions for America, and my job as a politician is to present and articulate these to the American people and give them an opportunity to vote on them. And we spend so much time looking to what the Democrats have done, and look at how out of the box this is. Look at how counter this is to how the nation was started. But the Founding Fathers did build things into the Constitution, such as the ability to amend it, so that on the fly, as things come up, we can make adjustments. And we do very clearly need to make some adjustments, and we have a lawful legal process to do that. And that's exactly what we as the Republican Party has to do. We have to say, well, what do we need to fix? We need to fix the entertainment industry. We need to fix the academic institutions. We need to fix the culture. We need to restore the family. And how do we do that? Well, we do that with you know, X, Y, and Z. And that's basically what I'm running on, as I said, a solutions-oriented platform. And I feel very confident going in because I think we're the only ones that are really presenting those solutions. Because, again, the sort of status quo, Mr. Nice Guy, libertarian, that ship has sailed. You know, we got people like Bill Maher going on TV and complaining about cancel culture. And, you know, my message to Bill Maher is, you know, you kind of had your chance and you passed on it. You know, Mitt Romney is not running in 2024. And if he is, he's not going to get very far. You had your opportunity to vote for that platform in 2012 and you passed on it. So now you're not getting that again. You're not getting Mitt Romney in 2024. You're getting Constantine in 2024, because the longer we've allowed this to go, the less nice we get to be about things. And, you know, 2024, I think there's still some time where we can still be a little bit nice about these things. But after that, really, I don't think it's going to get any better for them. So my message to the left is you should take this deal now before it's off the table, because you passed on that, and this one's going to go even quicker than that.
Absolutely. Daryl, thank you. Lily, thank you so much, and God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Daryl, let me turn the doorknob just a little in a different direction. Look at an article that says Biden. That's just Biden, and then semicolon, let boys into the girls' showers or we'll withhold all school lunchroom funding. The Biden administration agenda for demanding the schools open their classrooms and their restroom showers to students of either sex by highlighting what the administration actually is requiring. That would be that kids be allowed to starve if schools fail to cooperate with Biden's pro-transgender agenda. Biden administration wants kids to starve if they do not allow boys to go into the girls' showers, bathrooms, and locker rooms. That's based on the actual requirements demanded by Joe Biden. And the article is about 3 pages long, going into the details. But you talked about the fact of having to just basically, I'm going to use the terms you didn't, but trash the whole system and go back to square one. And that is a biblical basis with a biblical philosophy of what we're doing and how we're doing it. But if you see this mantra, this moral degradation coming out of the Oval Office, what can we expect America to do but to further plummet from the pinnacle that God has for us, which is God's ideal, as a central biblicist view? How do we counter that in the meantime? How do we, as Christians, how are we to respond to that? Should Christian families, Christian moms and dads, grandparents, leave their children in the indoctrination, brainwashing organization called the governmentally controlled public schools? Or should we pull them out, teach them at home? What are your recommendations in that realm?
Well, certainly in the interim, yeah, you can't leave your children in the schools the way that they're currently being run from, you know, from the very top of the executive level. And I'm really glad that you brought this up, because I want to make myself very clear to any academics that might be listening. You know, if and when I'm elected president, my Department of Justice will very clearly view confusing the gender of children as sexual abuse of minors, and we will prosecute it accordingly. So I want to issue a warning to any academics that might be listening that following orders is not going to be deemed an acceptable defense for this type of heinous conduct. So make your decision wisely, because when I'm elected, not only is it not going to be tolerated, but we're going to be apprehending and prosecuting anybody that participated, whether you're the one that's setting the tempo and setting the agenda, or simply someone that's following orders, because there's really no point in time where following orders to harm children is acceptable. So I think that what the Republican Party needs to be doing in response is really making that very clear, exactly how we view these things and how we will prosecute them when we are in office, as it appears we will be in 2024.
Absolutely. Daryl, I'm looking at a scripture, and you're familiar with it. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The word righteousness means right before God, being right before God. Exalteth a nation, that means to lift up, to glorify, to honor. But a sin is a reproach, that means to dishonor, to shame, to insult. I find that in our nation today, We're literally a laughingstock of the world. We're literally being a shameful example for the whole world by embracing the sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle, by having the mantra and the mindset being pushed out of the Oval Office and the Biden cabal today that we must extend the murder by way of abortion. We've had about 64, 65 million human lives literally destroyed by murder in the womb of the mother. How do you respond to those things? We find today, Daryl, and I'm sure you're aware of it, that we have multitudes in our churches. In fact, every mainline denomination without exception, every mainline denomination without exception, in some fashion, have embraced the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle. Every mainline denomination will accept and or embrace abortion as a lifestyle for the people in general. So how do we respond to that? I'm looking at an article, investigation called against a Tennessee pastor for booting Democrats from his church. That's what they call it. A pastor from Tennessee who said Democrats couldn't be Christian because of the pro-choice stance against the noted that he gave up his tax exemption status. Notice he says, yeah, let me read it again. A pastor from Tennessee who said the Democrats couldn't be Christian because of the party's pro-choice stance noted that he had given up his tax-exempt status. Pastor Greg Locke of the Mount Juliet Global Vision Bible Church, close to Nashville, told his congregation he considered the Democrat Party to be baby butcherers. In his sermon earlier this month, Locke said, you cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat if in this nation. He further states, you cannot be a Christian to vote Democrat. They are God-denying demons and butchers of babies that hate our nation. Now, as a result of that public statement, there's a move underway to investigate that pastor and that church. So now, both you and I realize that as Christians, as pastors, as churches, we need to be salt and light. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. But there's that warning they're sending out by saying they're investigating this pastor. Should we be silent? Should we keep standing up? In your opinion, your view, do we still have a First Amendment right, even as pastors, as churches, as Christians, or should we be relegated to second-class citizenry where we need to be silent and cannot say anything about these moral, ethical, biblical, theological, doctrinal, political issues?
Well, of course, Doctor, we certainly do still have this right, and we must continue to speak and speak loudly and speak proudly and also to speak correctly. And when we speak correctly and with specificity, we should be just fine. So the specifics and this pastor that you're pointing to, I'm not actually aware of that situation, but certainly we are entitled to continue to speak the truth and to present our ideas to the American people. And you touched on something, which is the fact that we have become a laughingstock. And as we continue to brag to the world and appoint all of these lesbians and soy boys to these, military positions, not recognizing that as we're destroying our economy, we don't really get to bully the rest of the world so much with our values. And they are, in fact, laughing at us more and more. And in Russia, this sort of abusive lesbian basketball player that they're detaining because she had a vape pen or something. I mean, I imagine they're probably putting her in the zoo over there and saying this is what Americans do to their women. So yeah, we do. It's embarrassing, and it's one more reason why we need to replace them with proper leadership and start projecting and showing the world that actually no, that this is who America is, and actually what we've been telling you, what these people have been telling you, they don't actually represent the majority of us. This is a tiny little minority. And, they had a couple decades where they got to run around with their little silly games. But, it's time to go back to normal. And the United States is back. We're a normal nation again. And we're ready to lead on the global stage again. And we're going to be now actually not just retracting all of the Luciferian stuff that we've been projecting, but now we're going to actually be projecting the real good news of Western civilization, which isn't just capitalism. The real good news of Western civilization is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's really what we need to be projecting globally into the rest of the world. And we need to be reorganizing geopolitically with nations that have that mission and share that with us. And and applying pressure instead of applying pressure to nations that, you know, don't encourage teaching sodomy to children. We're going to be applying pressure to nations that do, and we're going to rebalance globally and reorient the nation back towards, and reorient the globe, rather, back towards Christ and towards God. And first and foremost, we've got to do it here at home. And once we do that, we start pushing that out and really moving the world in a new, more positive direction to get us back on track from this very dark age that we've sort of been in and actually sadly been leading for the past 20 or 30 years. And really, it goes back further than that. But that's really when it's been, I think, most visible. So if you like those ideas, I want you to go to Constantine2024.com, specifically looking for Men of Action. We want you guys to sign up. We want you to get on our crusade mailing list. And we are very serious about this. I remind everybody when I'm listening, this is not a game. This is a campaign. And we are expecting to win because we believe that we are the only candidate, the only platform that represents the true solutions necessary to save the nation, get it back on track. And the further this process goes, the more clear we expect that to become. We're honored to serve as your voice. I am not running. We are running. We the people. We've had enough of these politicians. Time to go back to true representative government, the common men coming together, standing up under one banner, the banner of Christendom, saying enough is enough. It's time to make America Christian again.
Daryl, once again, give that contact information, the website information, and how people can join in the dialogue, the discussion, and the involvement with holding your hands up, praying for you, and supporting the work that you're doing.
Constantine2024.com, Constantine2024.com. Dr. Youngblood, it is so nice to hear your voice. It's so good to spend time with you, and for a couple months now, I'll be away. So thank you for having me on, and thank you for sharing this lovely program of yours. And everybody that tuned in and listened, I really appreciate you guys as well. I hope that, you know, and I know some of these ideas are maybe a little bit new, but I hope you let them sink in, and I hope that you'll pray on them. And I'm counting on you guys. I'm counting on the body of Christ to support what we're doing. I'm counting on your vote in 2024. So I'll leave it with that. I'll kick it back over to you, Doctor, and send you a hug as well.
Sounds great. Daryl, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, the final footnote on the broadcast today is we need to go back to God's plan of operation, if you will, in relationship to how to involve ourselves in the political process. And in that political process, it is very, very clear in the scripture. In Exodus chapter 3 and in verse 21, the scripture gives us the reason we need to find men who are those that are qualified, those that fear the Lord, those that honor him, and then follow his direction as we put men in office. And Daryl is the one I believe that God would have there. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
The Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.